never let a crisis go to waste, right? So what I mean by that is if there's an emergency situation, you got to roll up your sleeves and do something, you better teach somebody something in the process. You don't want your boss coming in and doing your job for you because he's paying you or she's paying you to do X, Y, and Z. And if the boss has to come in and do the things that they're paying you to do, they don't need you. Everybody, welcome back to another week.
Hey everyone,
Gerard,
Sarah,
and you know, we're just back again to talk about some things that's going on. And you know, one of the things that we've been talking about is, you know, you always hear the thing about, you know, you got to work, you know, the cliche, right? Work on your business, not work in your business, all those things, right? And I mean, you got to do that, but sometimes you got to kind of roll your sleeves up, get in there, and, you know, get your hands dirty, right? So we were talking about when you have to do that. Mm-hmm. And then when you do, how do you run the business and still work in the business at the same time, right? So
I just feel like that's a constant struggle as a business owner of two brick and mortars. You just cannot be an absent owner ever, I feel like. So it's January, it's the beginning of the year for us. And I'm really getting ready to just get in there, open to close a few nights a week just to kind of get a sense of the employees, how the workload is going, what the building is looking like, and just trying to get any processes into place or just kind of pick things up where they left off, improve anything that I can improve. But I feel like it has to be done on a monthly basis. I don't know. What are your parameters for that?
So what, it's tough because, there's a lot of examples. So for me, I remember when I used to work at UPS, right? So I was a distribution man, I'm running the joint, right? And I always made sure that, and I learned a long time ago, this dude told me, and it's going to be in the book I'm writing right now too. This dude told me there was this work area that was on fire, and not literally on fire, but it was a mess and things were messed up and not looking good. And I started to run into the building, like run into the work area, and he grabbed me and he was like, "Gerard, don't you go running that building on fire, because that building burn you up too." I was like, okay. So he said, what he was trying to tell me was somebody's got to be the chief and kind of let everybody else do what they need to do. And then somebody's got to direct traffic and knows what's going on. And that's what he told. I was like 23 years old. And he told me that. And I didn't really understand, because I could have went down there and fixed it in 10 minutes probably. But he kind of wanted me to get back and then look at the area and saw that what I saw was the work area that was in dire straits and trouble. I turn around and the other side of the building, they're over there sweeping the floor. So what I saw was, I'm like, okay, I can pull resources from over here, send them over here. It took a little bit more time, but I got it cleaned up because somebody's got to actually manage the joint, right? Mm-hmm. So what I used to do is, what we're going to call this is like a perch or like a crow's nest. So you got to find a spot in your building or your operation or whatever you're running. You got to find a spot where you can run the place and then see the place at the exact same time. So you can see what's going on, like a crow's nest or a perch or, you know, the guy in the basket at the, on the pirate ship, you know, with the monocle or whatever. So you gotta do that. So for you, mm-hmm, in your daycare, mm-hmm, and where is your perch? Where is your crow's nest?
I think if I had to choose a certain location, it would want to be in the middle of things. So I'm kind of like in the general play area. My background with these buildings is I was there open to close in the very beginning. I was the first employee. It took me a minute before I was able to pass on those responsibilities to the people that I actually hired and were working for me and trusted them and enough to get out of the building. But I think my place to be whenever I am in there now is always in the middle of everything. I like to see things from the center of the room. I can see the front desk. I can see how the employees are interacting with the parents. I can be with the children, get a gauge for what's going on that's fun, what's not so fun. I can see the back in the kitchen area, see how things are being prepared. I can see the diaper changing table. So it's just the one place for me where I feel comfortable being able to see everything. So that would be my perch.
Right. Okay. So for, and this takes me back to a story, right? And I learned a lot about, first of all, the best way you can learn something is to have a really good boss or a really bad boss, because you can learn from how to really, you know, how what to do and what to do. But I was very fortunate. My very first job at 15 and some change years old was at a Burger King restaurant, right? And at the time, we worked there. We didn't work there together, but we worked at the same Burger King restaurant.
Yes, we did.
All right.
That's another story.
It's another story for another time, for another day, right? But pretty much this is, so I'm my first job, I'm probably in the 10th or 11th grade, probably, I think I'm in the 11th grade at the time. And, you know, I started off making Whoppers, right? So I'm making the burgers and stuff. And I used to think that the manager, Carl, was just so lazy, right?
I liked Carl.
I like Carl now. But looking back on it, I thought Carl was super lazy, because all Carl would do all the time is just sit in the office the whole time.
Should, like, we change the name for...
No. Okay. We're going to give Carl some props, because wherever Carl is, Carl's going to figure out about this. And Carl's going to...
Hey, Carl, if you're watching.
Carl, if you're watching, you're going to, you know, you're going to be great. But here's the thing. Carl used to sit in that office and count the money and do the drawer or whatever. And then if you guys know, here's another thing. All right. So if you go to a drive-through restaurant, there's this alarm that goes off, like, the thing. That means that the car's in the drive-thru too long. They don't even care anymore. They make you pull up and go to that little thing over there now.
I know. What is that?
Because they basically just desensitize themselves that they got to get the stuff done in time, right? Mm-hmm. So the alarm would go off one time, meaning that the car was in the drive-thru for a minute. And then we would be like, and then Carl would stick his head out of that office and be like, what's going on out there? And we'd be like, we got it, man. We got it. And then when it went off the second time, Carl would come flying out that office. He'd put his hat on and he'd, like, be all mad. And he would go, you remember this? And he would go, if you know a restaurant, if you know what a fast food restaurant looks like, right in the front, the cash register, and then you got the fries right there. And then you got, like, the bags where they're, like, bagging orders. Carl would take, he would jump right in that spot. And whoever was bagging orders, he sent them into the kitchen to wherever the bottleneck was in the kitchen. Right. So he would take the, you know, if it was Whoppers or if it was fish or whatever, he'd throw them back there and he'd look out into the dining room. He can see all the customers. He could see how long the line was. He could see the drive through and he could see into the kitchen. And he'd be there and he'd be directing traffic and yelling at people. And I need fries. I need this and that, blah, blah, blah. And in 20 minutes, the whole place would be quiet. And Carl would take his hat off, go back, sit down in the in the office to go do nothing, right? So what I learned from Carl 30 years later, I'm not going to date myself, was that Carl would always put himself in a situation where he can see the entire restaurant. He would only get his hands dirty when he had to, and then he would just tell everybody what to do, and he would just run the joint. That was his that was his crow's nest. That was his perch. I learned more about that, more about how to run a warehouse, anything in the world, I learned from Carl at 15 years old. And he would only, so he would only come out when he needed to. And when he needed to, he was out there in a minute and everybody was like, I mean, he had everybody just running around in circles, because the whole goal was not to make Carl come out of the office, because if he came out, everybody's going to be running around jumping. So I don't know if that was your experience. Well, maybe because I wasn't as good as a worker as you.
I was going to say, I think he liked our crew a little better, but no, he did do that. He totally did that kind of stuff. And I mean, he was always on top of it.
Yeah.
He was great.
We knew what was expected. We knew that if that alarm went off twice, so he set the expectation that alarm doesn't go off. And he let us all know by his actions that that's what needed to happen. And as soon as it would happen, he would come out there. And a lot of times, it wasn't like we were messing up or anything. We just needed help. And then we couldn't get what we needed to get done. So he would come out there, be an extra set of hands. He wouldn't go to the you know, so he'd put two people on Whoppers or two people on fries. And then he'd be screaming at, I need that, this. And then, you know, what's taking so long? So he would, but he would, we would go. And then the alarm would go off and he would go back in the office and be like, all right, man, all right, it's cool. So that is a great example of knowing when to jump into your operation and how to manage and how to move people around. He was moving people around. Mm-hmm. It was great. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, from a warehouse standpoint, you always got to figure out where your bottleneck is and find out where your pressure points are. So, you know, and I worked in a union job environment and non-union, and, you know, we couldn't touch packages in union environment, but we would. But we would always jump into a situation where we can see the entire operation, mm-hmm. and then still get done. Mm. So, and then another thing is like, I even had that problem now. Is like, you know, I go into places and kind of walk around and see what's going on. Like, I don't know. But what I know is what I was taught and by one of my bosses is whenever he wanted to find, you know, because I had at one point I had a whole bunch of management people, and whenever I couldn't find the management person, he would say, "Come on." I'm like, "Where are we going?" He said, "We're going to go find the supervisor." I'm like, "How do you know where he is?" He said, "Because the problem's not over here. He's going to be where the problem's not." So then you'd go over to the supervisor and he'd be like, "I'm like, what are you doing over here?" He's like, "Ah, man, well, I got to make sure this stays nice and neat over here." "No, no, get in the fire, get it straight and get it cleaned up." So yeah. So you got to be able to work in your business, mm-hmm. and on your business at times. But like right now, like you're dealing with a lot of, you know, revamping some of your processes, your procedures, mm-hmm. and the best way.
And that takes a lot of thought. There's a lot of thought process that goes into that, because you don't want to change something unless you have to, and I'm always looking for a better way. So definitely, that is a big part of what goes on, you know, throughout the year. But
yeah, I mean, continuous improvement never mm-hmm. stops, right? So you're always mm-hmm. moving forward, trying to get stuff improved of better where it was. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, another point of that is what I learned is the employees will tell you mm-hmm. if what you've put into place works.
Right.
And what I mean by that is like, you know, people who do the job every day know better than what you do. Mm-hmm. They do.
Yep.
They do it every day. You don't do it every day. For what you conceptualize as what a great idea is or what's a better way to do it, if they continuously do something else, it's because they feel like for whatever reason that is making their job easier or more effective, right? Mm. So sometimes you got to figure out, like, I got another example, right? So we were in a warehouse, and the way we set the workstations up is they were making boxes, and they had to hang up the clothes and stuff and put them in a box. And we had the tape gun on the right side and the mouse on the right side. And then we'd walk down, and then all the keyboards and everything would just be rearranged. I'd be like, "Man, it doesn't go over here. It goes over here." Well, they were rearranging the table because it ergonomically worked better for them that way. So they were telling us, they won't tell you, "Hey, no, it doesn't work like that." Mm-hmm. But they'll tell you by what their actions are if, you know, if that's a better process, a way to do it. And then, but you got to come in and validate and make sure that it's part of the process you want.
Right. Cause it might just be them wanting to do something, not to make it easier, but just so they don't have to do as much, so to speak.
True. So that comes down to working, you know, getting in there, doing it yourself sometimes. Mm-hmm. Cause in that way you can kind of say, you know, you always get the, what do they say? Like the engineers always design everything and it's messed up, but you got to go actually go in and do it yourself to kind of see if it's something that is actually a good process or not a good process. Mm-hmm. Right.
I agree with that.
So, but yeah, so those are like some of the things is in, you know, from my standpoint is you don't always have to be a great player coach, but at the same time, you got to know what, you know, what works and what doesn't. And the only way to do that is get your hands in there sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then kind of see what happens and then make changes if you need to, right?
Yeah, and I think when you have employees that see you in there and doing what they're doing, they also have a little bit more respect for you, and they can see that you care, you know, which is important too.
Yep, I was always, that's another story for another day, but never ask your people to do anything that you won't be willing to do yourself. And yeah, like I said, that's another story for another day, but I'll just give you a little hint. We'll talk about it later. I'll just point you to the episode where it's going to be, but just, hazardous bio, human bodily hazardous materials, I had to clean it up. All right, we're going to talk about that later on. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I mean, no matter what you're talking about, it all sounds pretty gross.
That's going to be bad. It's bad. Mm. Yeah, but that's for another story too. But yeah, so don't do anything that you're not going to be willing to do yourself. And, you know, sometimes you got to get in there and do it to demonstrate that the job can be done.
So do you think people, when they're opening up a business, they need to be a part of the original layer that way? Or do you think they can just automatically plug people into a business and it can be successful?
I mean, what do I think? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that you should get your hands in there and do it from the beginning, mm-hmm. right? So that way you can kind of learn from the grassroots what's happening and what works and what doesn't work and things like that, so you can make those changes. But, you know, you got a lot of absentee owners that don't do it. But mm-hmm. My thought is, even from a real estate standpoint, when I first got into it, mm-hmm. everybody wants you to hire a contractor close coordinator, which you can do. You need somebody to help you with the paperwork. But personally, I felt that I needed to touch every single transaction, every single piece of every single document for like months to learn what actually I was asking people to do.
Yeah, you did that.
So that way I understood. So once I turned it over, that I had the I set the expectation that I knew the job, that I could do it. But at the same time, that way if something went wrong in the process, I was able to jump in and say, hey, this is what went wrong, whatever, you know, things like that. So mm-hmm. I always recommend going in from the beginning and learning it, especially if you're learning the job together. You got to go in and figure it out, because, you know, I mean, that's why certain jobs promote from within from the very beginning, because you got to go in there and figure out. You can't hold somebody accountable to do the job if you have no working knowledge of the job. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could do it. I see it all the time. But to truly go in and get buy-in from your team and to get things done, you kind of got to get in there and show them that you could do it. I used to do that too. So that was another thing. So they used to hate, just like Carl, right? So I learned at the point where I didn't want Carl coming out of the office, right? Because if Carl comes out the office, it means we're not doing what we need to do. So I used to always ask, I used to keep a radio on my desk, walkie-talkie. Mm-hmm. And walkie-talkie's for the guy, like the manager, supervisor that runs a work area. He's, you know, so once you get to a certain level of, you know, running the warehouse, you don't carry a radio anymore because you don't really want to know what's going on. You really don't. You just want your team to do it. Mm-hmm. But I always kept the radio on my desk and I kept it off. And when things got really, really bad, I'd ask my team, do you want me to pick up my radio? And they'd be like, no, Gerard, we don't need you to pick up your radio. No. So then next thing you know, I got the radio. I'm like, hey, Gerard, you got a copy? And they're like, oh my God, here we go. Because they know I'm coming out there and I'm doing the Carl. I'm coming out. I'm jumping in my perch. That means that when I jump in the perch, that means that the guy who I'm taking his spot, he's going down into a spot that he doesn't want to be in. And that person's going down. And then we're going to get cleaned up. And then the moral of the story is, if Gerard comes out here and I can do your job, if I got to come out here and do your job, mm-hmm. what do I need you for? Right? So the goal is to keep the boss out of the work area. So basically, you know, by going into the work, now there's two ways. If you go in and do stuff for process improvement, it's okay. But if I got to come into your work area and do your job, you should be embarrassed mm-hmm. that I got to show up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll be like, oh man, come on in. Like, no, mm-hmm. you don't come on in here.
I was going to say, I don't know if people look at it that way all the time.
They need to. True. Do my job. Mm-hmm. What do I need you for? That's the thing. I used to hate that. When my boss used to talk, he'd be like, well, Gerard, you know, if I got to do this and that, and I know that the last line is going to be, if I got to do all these things that I pay you to do, what do I need you for? And I'd be like, you got to think I'm like 25 years old running a 400-man operation. No business running this joint. But I had some really good managers and really good supervisors, managers and bosses that kind of tough love that you couldn't even say and do the things mm-hmm. that we used to do back in the 90s and 2000s now. But it was tough love, and I learned more from it because managers would jump in and do what they needed to do to get the job done, you know? So just some of the things like that. So, yeah, that's fun.
Oh, yeah. You could talk about this all day.
Oh, yeah, all day. All day. Actually, I do all day. No, it's fun because it really is like, but at the same time, when you're doing these things, you're teaching and you're empowering them to do the job without, it's like Karate Kid. It's like paint the fence and wax on, wax. You don't even really know you're being taught, but you really are being taught that, you know, I knew that I learned from the guy at the one place to, you know, don't run into the fire until you send everybody else in the fire first. And then I learned from Carl how to manage and how to delegate and how to get your hands dirty and then go back and count change. And then, so I learned from those guys, but I also learned that, you know, you don't want your boss coming in and doing your job for you because he's paying you or she's paying you to do X, Y, and Z. And if the boss has to come in and do the things that they're paying you to do, they don't need you. So how you stay relevant? Do your job. And don't let your boss come in and try to tell you. Because if the boss come, he's not doing it for fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not. Well, I mean, parts of this for me is definitely fun. Because I do love working with children and I do love being in me time. It's a happy place for me. But as far as, like, you know, having to tell people, you know, they're not doing something right or just going in and fixing things, that's the not fun part when it's not flowing smoothly. But again, that's just part of being an owner and owning your own business.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not fun, but you got to make, what is it? All right, what is it? You never let a crisis go to waste, right? So what I mean by that is like if there's an emergency situation, you got to roll up your sleeves and do something, you better teach somebody something in the process. So like at least you're teaching people what needs to happen for next time because they should remember that. So what I mean is don't take it over to, you know, to just get it done, but you got to teach in the process. So that way they can see what you do, see where you work and see how quickly. Because they used to say to me all the time, well, man, you know, every time you come out here, things calm down as soon as you show up. You missed it when it was busy.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, man. No. It was been busy the whole time. It was just that y'all running around here, chicken head cut off, acting crazy. And I can come here in 25 seconds and get you straightened out. I used to tell them that if I can come out there, I used to try to, I'll go through it. There's one time. And you probably listen and you know who I'm talking about. You know I'm talking about you. And basically they had like five people too many, in my opinion, that they're working in their work area. So I told him, you go down to two people and I'll be one of the two. And I'm going to get this job done with three fewer people myself. I'm going to do it myself. And then when I'm done the job, I'm going to sit in this corner and play video games on my phone in front of all your people. Oh man, you can never do that, you know, this and that. So I was okay, man. So probably took me about 3-4 hours out of an 8-hour shift, but I worked that whole shift, and about 3 hours in, I was sitting down playing Clash of Clans on my phone. And just sat there for 5 hours, did nothing, and got the job done. And proved the point that I can get it done with less people. Don't tell me what you can't do. Because I'll show you, you know? So it's the same thing, like show them that it can be done, work with them, show them that it can be done so that way they can see it themselves and teach somebody else the same thing. That's really it.
That's the whole goal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Training, motivation, and accountability. They all go hand in hand. They really do. So.
Say that again.
Training, motivation, and accountability. They all go hand in hand. It's your job. It's your job. It's your job as an owner. It's your job as a manager, a supervisor, any kind of leader. You got to train your people. You got to keep them motivated. And you got to hold them accountable for the results. That's it. And if you do those things, then everything else will fall. That's like the foundation of running anything is those three things right there. I learned that when I was 19 years old. So
Good stuff.
Good stuff. So what else? You got anything else today?
Nope.
This is good. It was a quick talk.
No, back in the lab because we've been out, you know.
Snowing.
Yeah, even though snow doesn't really affect this, it does with
the
your mental.
The kids are
the
home.
Kids are home.
Kids are home, want to eat.
Yeah.
Eat and up all the food.
Oh, whoever said I just need to be stuck in the house for a week to get the house clean, that's just there's no excuse. You're not going to get the house clean in a week.
No, you're not.
I was stuck in the house for a week. I actually felt like it got dirtier.
Because we're living in it, you know?
So, yeah.
But, yeah, we're back. We're going to get back at it. And then now the next thing is just like this whole editing process, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this myself for a minute, you know?
And you're already really good at this.
And then we're going to pay somebody to do it because then I'm going to hold them accountable to do the freaking thing when I'm done, you know? So right now I'm going to learn how to do it myself, get my hands dirty. So, all right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next time.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. See you next time.